Hey, Barbara.
Hello, Lynn.
Apologize for being late. Yes, sir. I
It doesn't
apologize
matter.
for being late.
There it
It's
is.
okay. I
Yeah,
wonder how you do it anyway.
sorry.
There we
Yeah,
go.
there we go. Sorry. I had a strategy session for Dr. Rita Marie, and Susan actually sent me a text and I went, "Oh my goodness, it's 12." So I apologize. Yeah,
You just
the
had me panicking a little bit.
I can imagine. I so apologize.
That's
There
okay.
we go. I love seeing everybody pop up and everything like that. So, all right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is our not our last one. We have one more coming up with, I believe it's Isabel next month. And guess what Isabel's talking about?
Liver. Yeah.
Surprise.
Imagine
Liver plans?
that. Yeah. So this is a really great talk that Susan is going to be talking to us about, which will help you next month. Actually, it's just in a couple of weeks as you learn about the eyes, because there's such an connection between the eyes and the liver. So, all right, and Diana is going to mahalo us. Flowers everywhere. Flowers everywhere. I
This is my anniversary gift.
love
This is
the
my anniversary gift from my sweet husband. I told him I'd wear them today for about 5 seconds.
Yay! I thought you
What,
pulled groom.
37 years?
37.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I thought you grew them.
Oh, God. You know what? I wish they were real. They're not the little imitation ones, so.
That's okay.
I got,
Well,
oh man, I wish, Plumeria is one of my favorite smells in the whole wide world.
yeah.
I came from Hawaii, so
Oh,
I wish these were real. Oh my goodness.
so truly mahalo.
Yeah, amen to that.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. What a,
Dennis
that's a
is
great
going to be
celebration.
sitting in on this one because he's got the eye thing and the blood
All
sugar
right.
thing, so
Very good.
he's prepared.
So
He can bring a chair over when we start, so
perfect.
you're going to have a big
So
audience, Susan.
yeah, so you're going to hear some great things from Susan. I know, as we'll explain, she's been working over the last few months with Dr. Louisa Thompson with her clients that are benefiting from this knowledge with blood sugar and other areas of eye health. So without further ado, I will be turning this over to Susan. And just so you all know, I have to leave at about 12:30, and I am turning this over to Angelica, and so she will be able to make sure everything gets closed out appropriately. So I don't want you to be worried when you see me departing. But I will be holding you all in my thoughts. All right. So take it away, Susan.
All right, so let me see if I can do this here. Are you seeing my screen?
I do.
I don't.
I don't.
I don't.
At all.
Oh, I guess I don't. I thought I saw it starting and now I don't.
Serious?
Yeah, so hit share on the bottom, the
Okay,
green button.
let me get back to Zoom. Ah, maybe that's what I forgot to do. Okay. Let's see if this is the correct one.
There you go.
All right. Thought I had this figured out.
You do. And so what I would suggest is click on where it says slideshow.
I am. I'm waiting.
Okay. Perfect. You've got this.
I've got my computer on slow-mo.
I'm always on slow-mo.
Country living.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so I'm going to be talking a little bit more about the impact of high blood sugar on your eyesight, and I'm feeling totally intimidated that Claudia's here because Claudia will so fill in the gaps because she's got a whole nother angle to add to this. And I did not go into liver detox on this particular talk, because that's a whole talk in itself. And, you know, Isabel can address that next week.
You know, I want to say something, Susan. You know, the thing is, there's also lots of things that I still don't know. So I think we all bring pieces to the puzzle and we can learn. Yeah. So I don't feel intimidated. And in fact, I'm more interested in what you can share that I might not know. So yeah, just wanted to say that.
Cool. All right. So first off, I thank you all for being here. And yeah, my heart is in my throat right now. So let me just calm down. All right. So, imagine that you are at your annual eye appointment and that you've noticed over the last year that your vision is becoming blurry, but you know, it's like, no worries. It's part of the aging process and you'll get another prescription, right? That's what everybody does. And then at some point during the exam, your optometrist asks you if you're pre-diabetic and you snap incredulously. It's like, of course not. My doctor hasn't said anything of the sort, while thinking, well, what's this got to do with my eyesight? The optometrist then proceeds to explain that you have a condition called macular edema, which is related to high blood sugar levels. And you're thinking, what? So she continues to inform you that you should get this under control through dietary changes so as to prevent diabetic retinopathy. At this point, you're like, diabetic retin what? And you have no idea what she's talking about. So while this scenario is fictitious, it does happen all too often for real at the Optometry Office of Advanced Eye Care in San Antonio, here in Texas, where Dr. Louisa Thompson is the owner and optometrist. She is a fellow NEPT student. Most of you know who she is. And she hired me, Susan Larson, to coach her patients in healthy eating and lifestyle habits to reverse their eye issues that are related to high blood sugar. So though this partnership between Dr. Louisa and I is in its infancy, we do anticipate great results. So here's the thing. It is distinctly possible that when you first notice that your vision is getting blurry, that it could well be due to an elevation of blood sugar levels. And if it's caught early enough, there exists the possibility of restoring the eyes to optimal vision. Let's take a look at this through a quick study of eye anatomy, common eye diseases related to blood sugar, high blood sugar, how high blood sugar affects the eyes, and then nutrition and supplements for eye health. So for a brief anatomy of the eye, the primary parts of the eye that are affected by high blood sugar are the retina, which is this along the back. Are you seeing my cursor?
Mm-mm. No, but we can see your words and where it's pointing to.
Oh, well, I'm pointing, but I guess you're not seeing that part. Okay, so we've got the retina, which is along the back of the eye. And then those little kind of spidery looking things, those are called the retinal blood vessels.
Now I see the pointer, your cursor.
Okay. So there's your retina. These spidery things are the retinal blood vessels. And then this tiny little thing here is the macula. And so these are the three main components of the eye that are related to go bad with high blood sugar issues. So let's take a look at that. So the retina is located at the back of the eye. And think of this as a camera that captures images. And through an intricate communications network, these images are, hang on a sec, put my phone away. These images are interpreted by our brain into something meaningful. Now, the retinal blood vessels, they come in with the optic nerve back here. And their function is to supply oxygen and nutrients to the eye, and there's a lot of little capillaries that come off some of these main arteries. So then the macula, see this tiny little area back here? That's the macula, and it's the midpoint of the retina. So the macula, its function is to focus images so that you can see with 20/20 vision and in color. And if the macula remains undisturbed and relatively dry, then your vision remains in good shape. Conversely, poor health can compromise the macula, resulting in the need for glasses or contacts to be worn. All right, so now that we've just kind of did an overview of those parts of the eye, let's look at things that happen.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of tissue is the retina?
That's a good question. You know what? I don't know.
And that's a great answer.
In all of my research, I just never came up with that. That wasn't mentioned anywhere. So that's a great question.
Retinal tissue. I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know.
I don't know. That's a great question, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, if you find that out, you can just post it in the ERC Facebook group. If you find out it's anything different than a retinal tissue or, like Lynn Rose is saying, an epithelial skin tissue.
That's the first thing that came to my mind, but I don't know if that's correct or not.
Yeah. So
let me make a note of that.
That's when we go, I don't know, but I'll get back to you.
Okay. I just jotted that down.
Thank you.
All right. So one of the first things that we're going to look at is diabetic retinopathy. And the first stage of this condition begins with damage to the tiny blood vessels in the eye. So you can see here that you've got a bunch of little blood vessels. And over here in the diabetic retinopathy, you'll see these little white things, and they're called cotton wool spots. And the cotton wool spots don't necessarily impair vision. However, they do signify swellings of the retinal nerves, and they are certainly a heads up that all is not well in the eye and can lead to the beginning of eyesight problems. Then, as deterioration continues, the retina does not receive the blood supply and nutrients that it needs. Blood vessels can eventually become blocked, which then sends messages to the body to make new blood vessels. Now, that may sound like a great thing to make new blood vessels, but in this case, it is definitely not, because these new blood vessels, and you can kind of see them a little bit in there, these new blood vessels are very fragile and they bleed easily. So if diabetic retinopathy is left unchecked and it progresses, the most advanced stage of it is retinal detachment, which that can lead to complete vision loss. So what do you think is the cause of diabetic retinopathy? Well, the word diabetic kind of gives it away. So it is blood sugar. So the Mayo Clinic on their website cited, this is great, from the Mayo Clinic, quote, poor control of your blood sugar levels, unquote, is the cause. I thought that was pretty cool. All right. So in addition to diabetic retinopathy, we have diabetic macular edema. And remember that the macula was that point on the eye that was responsible for the quality of our vision, for that 20/20 vision. So in diabetic macular edema, there is a buildup of fluid in the macula. So, you know, what's the big deal about that? Well, imagine trying to look through a pair of binoculars with water spots on them, or think about looking underwater, you know, and how difficult distorted things are. So if the macula is swollen and has excess fluid, our vision will certainly be blurry and distorted. And again, what might be the cause of that? You guessed it, high blood sugars, because that causes the macula to swell. So you can see here in the picture, that's what you would see if you had macular diabetic edema. So the next one we'll look at is macular degeneration. So that's another issue with the macula. This is also said to be the leading cause of blindness in older people. The central part of the retina, which we now know is the macula, becomes deteriorated. And as this deterioration progresses, vision usually goes from blurry to wavy, and then ultimately the central vision is lost. And you can see that in the slide here, where, you know, the thing that you're focusing on, you've got all these big dark spots on it. And at this point, damage is most likely permanent. So as an aside, this condition currently has unknown causes and is not directly related to high blood sugars. However, the American Macular Degeneration Association does suggest improving diet and lifestyle to slow its progression. So, you know, they're acknowledging diet may have something to do with it. They also suggest, as a protective measure, to reduce the amount of blue light exposure to the eyes. In fact, the Royal National Institute of Blind People in the United Kingdom expresses concern that an increase of retinal damage may be observed in the years to come as we increase our screen time. So as I said earlier, this is not directly related to high blood sugar, but I felt the need to alert you all about the damaging influence of blue light on the retina causing damage to the macula. And Claudia, I'm sure, can speak way more on that. I'm not going to go into that right now because that's a whole topic in itself. All right, so back to conditions of the eyes related to high blood sugar. Cataracts. So I'm sure we all know someone who either has dealt with this or is dealing with this. So cataracts occur when the lens of the eyes becomes clouded. The lens is made up mostly of water and protein. And this protein is lined up in such an intricate and precise way that the lens remains clear for 20/20 vision, which to me, that's just phenomenal. That's amazing. However, as we age, the proteins can clump up just due to things not working right, due to damage and dysfunctional regeneration of the lens. And that can be a result of high blood sugar levels. This causes the lens to be cloudy. So, as you see here in the healthy, the normal eye, when the light comes in, when you're looking at something, it's very point. The lens is crystal clear. Your vision is 20/20. What you're looking at is focused directly on this macula. Okay. Over in this one, in the cataract eye, what happens is that because the lens is cloudy or can get clouded and it's refracting the light to all around the whole retina. And as you see here, it's not focused on the macula. So that's the result up here. It's just things are cloudy and hazy. And right now, it seems that surgery is the only way to deal with this. Obviously, prevention is better, but I think... at this point in time, it just seems like surgeries. I think Dr. Louisa would agree with that. So, though it is said that cataracts are age-related, it's also said that diabetes is a powerful contributing factor. And we know that that means high blood sugar levels. In a 2008 study in the Journal of Ophthalmic and Vision Research, it was consistently discovered that there were elevated levels of glucose actually in the certain areas of the eye that would cause damage over time to both the optic nerve and those small blood vessels within the eye. Remember in that previous slide, we were looking at those cotton wool spots on the ends of the blood vessels. That was kind of your heads up that things are going sideways. All right, so the last thing we're going to look at is glaucoma. This condition affects the optic nerve. So in this slide, you can see the damage occurs when fluid builds up inside the eye. This is called intraocular pressure. And this pressure, it's like squeezing the optic nerve, which makes it not flow properly. And inside the eye, there's this stuff called, the fluid is called aqueous humor. And it comes in with the optic nerve and with the blood vessels and however it comes in, it does. And it's supposed to come in and flow through the eye so that you've got this cycle. these are minuscule amounts, but we have this cycle of regenerating the fluid inside the eyeball. However, there's this area in here. Can you see that? This is very intricate ductwork, and there are times when this can get blocked, and then you can see that there's a little bit of a fluid buildup in here in the lens. And so, needless to say, if we've got fluid coming in, fluid coming in, fluid coming in, but this is blocked and it's not able to come out, then we're going to have a pressure buildup. So that is totally not cool. And then the next slide, this is what it looks like. So you've got normal vision, early glaucoma. You can see that you're losing your peripheral vision. It gets worse, and then eventually it's like having tunnel vision. It's really the opposite of the macular edema where you had those dark spots, or macular degeneration where you had the dark spots. In this case, you can see, but it's more like tunnel vision. All right. So let's just do a little review here. We looked at diabetic retinopathy, which was damage to the blood vessels. We have diabetic macular edema, which was swelling of the macula. Macular degeneration, where the actual macula becomes deteriorated. And cataracts, where the lens becomes cloudy. And then glaucoma, where the actual optic nerve becomes damaged. There's also other eye problems other than what was listed there. You have branch retinal vein occlusion, central retinal vein occlusion, retinitis, keratitis, scleritis, to name a few. These are not as common. And what do you notice about these, this group here? You guys are smart. They all end in itis, which is inflammation. You got it. Y'all are so smart. All right, so now that we've had kind of looked at the basic idea of the eye and the conditions that affect it and some of the eye anatomy, let's take a look at how diet and lifestyle interact with the health of the eyes. Can these problems be prevented? Can they be reversed? You know, these are important questions to ask. But first, what specifically does high blood sugar levels have to do with the eyes? And furthermore, who's talking about this? It seems to me that there is much talk about serious eye conditions once you have been told that you're diabetic, but these things aren't mentioned prior to that, you know, as a prevention, or even if you're pre-diabetic, the eyes are never mentioned. But as you know, becoming diabetic does not happen overnight. It's a many-year, many-decade process that usually begins with what we eat. So here's something to investigate. A steep spike in blood sugar has the potential to make your vision blurry. So it might be interesting to see if your vision is slightly blurry the next time you have a significant blood sugar spike. However, I'm going to venture to say that this event will come more from a stressful situation from you guys, because I know that you're all eating right. Am I correct? So, as our blood sugar, blood sugar and blood glucose levels rise over time, and especially if we have some pretty high spikes, damage to those tiny blood vessels within the eyes occurs. And though this damage can be super minuscule, when you add this up over time, like 20 years, 30 years, or 40 years, that's how slow these things progress. Then you could end up with something significant like diabetic retinopathy. And then at this point, pretty much you've already had a diagnosis of diabetes. So also those tiny blood vessels that provide nourishment to the eye, well, the eye's not getting nourished. We also know that high blood sugar leads to inflammation. And obviously the eyes are part of the body, so it makes sense that there could be inflammation within the eye. And we talked about that when the blood vessels swell, the macula and the retina swells, the lens swell, and then there were all those little itises, the keratitis, iritis, scleritis, and so on. So those are all inflammation things. The other thing that we know is that high blood sugars creates high blood pressure, high cholesterol, possibly leading to heart disease, and all of these things just put further stress on the eyes and its function because it's all connected. So before all of us began this journey of correct eating for healthy blood sugar, we had no idea the damage we were doing to our eyesight from our food choices, beginning with breakfast. How we have changed, right? So now, instead of having bowls of cereal, we're having green smoothies. Who would have thought? All of us here have chosen not to go the route of diabetes. And speaking of diabetes, last year in 2018, it was estimated that 29 million people have diabetes in the U.S. and that only and that 25% of them don't even know it. So that's one in four people are walking around and they don't even know that they're diabetic. That's crazy. And maybe the number's higher. I mean, who knows? You know, I know several of us here discovered we were pre-diabetic and we had no clue. It's like nobody told us. We kind of found out by accident. All right, so what nutrients support healthy eyes? Now, this may seem ridiculous, but how about we start with water? Remember that the inside of the eye is filled with that fluid called aqueous humor. It would make sense that we need to stay hydrated so that the eye works properly. If it's dehydrated, that's not going to go well for us. Foods that are rich in sulfur and selenium, those kinds of foods help to make glutathione. And glutathione is an antioxidant which is proving to be effective in preventing cataracts. So eating sulfur-rich foods such as garlic, onions, capers, pastured eggs is very beneficial. And then add the selenium-rich foods to that, such as your Brazil nuts, sunflower seeds, sardines, pastured beef, lamb, poultry, and eggs. All these things, as we know, definitely promote eye health. Chromium has an indirect effect on eye health. Interestingly, optometrist Dr. Ben Lane noticed a correlation between the loss of visual acuity and high sugar intake and low chromium. So loss of visual acuity, high sugar intake, low chromium levels. When sugar intake was decreased and chromium levels optimized, he found that eyesight improved. This makes sense because we know that high blood glucose levels cause all kinds of trouble, including eye problems. And we also know that chromium helps regulate blood sugar levels. Broccoli is one of the higher vegetables in chromium. However, this is one of those supplements that maybe need to be taken because I don't know how we can get enough of this in our diet for specifically for dealing with high blood sugar levels. Another nutrient of interest is vitamin C. Most Americans, I believe, are deficient in this because they don't eat any vegetables. You know, they're all eating processed food. It appears that the lens of the eye has a very high concentration of vitamin C. And a meta-analysis showed that higher vitamin C intake and serum ascorbic might be inversely associated with the risk of cataract. So vitamin C intake should be advocated for the primary prevention of cataract. I hadn't even heard that one before. So that's pretty cool. And as we know, lemons, limes, broccoli, a lot of your fresh raw veggies are high in vitamin C. So most of us are familiar with carotenoids for our eyes. The carotenoids include beta-carotene, lutein, zeaxanthin, astaxanthin, and lycopene, and there's other ones too. These are the nutrients that give our fruits and veggies their vibrant color and why we were told as children to eat our carrots so we can see better. However, and what I didn't know, is that these two here, the lutein and the zeaxanthin, are concentrated in the macula. Well, that's kind of interesting. And your vegetables that these two, the lutein and zeaxanthin, are abundant in are your leafy green veggies. Kale is especially high, But so is spinach and Swiss chard and many others. It's also found in yellow and red peppers, carrots, and pretty much your vegetables of color. So as excellent as these nutrients are for the eyes, the real rock star of the eye nutrients appears to be astaxanthin. According to Dr. Mark So of the Wilmer Eye Institute at Johns Hopkins University, he's done extensive research on astaxanthin. He observed that it was much more potent in protecting the eyes than the other carotenoids. Dr. So also discovered that astaxanthin crosses both the blood-brain barrier and the blood-retinal barrier, making it superior in absorption and potency. This led him to conclude that astaxanthin can be used safely and very effectively for a variety of eye issues, including age-related macular degeneration, macular edema, central retinal arterial and venous occlusion, glaucoma, and all those inflammatory itises of the eye. And additional research by others confirmed these findings by doctors. So, now, according to a 2010 article by Dr. Mercola, here's a lineup of the benefits offered by astaxanthin. Astaxanthin is by far the most powerful carotenoid antioxidant when it comes to free radical scavenging. It is 65 times more powerful than vitamin C, 54 times more powerful than beta-carotene, and 14 times more powerful than vitamin E. Astaxanthin is far more effective than other carotenoids at this thing called singlet oxygen quenching, which is a particular type of oxidation. The damaging effects of sunlight and various organic materials are caused by this less stable form of oxygen. Astaxanthin is 550 times more powerful than vitamin E and 11 times more powerful than beta-carotene at neutralizing this particular oxidative factor called singlet oxygen. Astaxanthin crosses the blood-brain barrier and the blood-retinal barrier, whereas beta-carotene and lycopene do not, and this has huge implications for the health of your eyes. Astaxanthin was also discovered that it is soluble in lipids, so it incorporates into cell membranes. It's a potent UVB absorber, so that's protective to the eyes. It reduces DNA damage. It is very powerful natural anti-inflammatory. No adverse reactions have been found for people taking astaxanthin. And it is claimed that it's virtually impossible to obtain the recommended daily amount of astaxanthin from your diet because there are only two prime sources of it, one being the microalgae and then the second one being the little sea creatures that consume this microalgae, such as your salmon, your shellfish, and your krill. While it appears that astaxanthin is the clear winner in eye nutrients and supplements, and supplementation may well be warranted, we do still need to be eating a diet high in nutrient-rich plants for complete eye health. This way of eating will regulate our blood sugar and insulin problems when combined with a no-sugar, low-carbohydrate, moderate healthy fat diet. So by caring for our bodies in such a way that optimizes our blood sugar and insulin functions, we're also taking care of our eyes from a nutritional standpoint. As you know, naturally, there's going to be more to this story than just good nutrition. Lifestyle also plays a big part. Good sleeping habits and stress management are important in both preventing and reversing prediabetes and diabetes, and thus has an impact on your eye health. Then, of course, there's that whole new hot topic of blue light exposure in the eyes, but we'll leave that one for another day. So I've looked at a good bit today. Just kind of basic eye anatomy, eye diseases related to high blood sugar, how high blood sugar affects the eyes, and nutritional support for the eyes. So it's my hope that I've left you with some nuggets that will encourage you to take better care of your eyes from a nutritional standpoint. So thank you. And here's a list of resources that I've got. So, questions? I'm sure you have some questions.
Oh, yeah. Lots of chatter. Chatter in a good way.
Yeah.
I should indicate.
I can't see any of the chat, I have no idea.
And if I felt there was something like I did with the one, I would have said it. I know Angelica was sharing about her grandmother who has the macular degeneration. They feed her sugar and she
sits on the couch
all day.
She's 92. Like, that's all she wants to drink or she eats Ensure, drinks juice, and then eats like sweets.
So what do you do about that? You know, at 92, I have the same issue with my dad. My dad just flat out said, well, I've lived this long eating what I eat. I'm going to continue. It's like, okay.
Yeah, that's kind of, she's never really taken any measures to try to optimize her health. She just sort of she'll take pharmaceuticals she's not motivated that way. But
yeah,
I was curious actually, Susan, about your understanding or opinion about iridology. And does that based on your and Claudia's experience, does that have any science behind it? Like the fact that you can really tell like where the body is stagnated or what kind of disease or toxins you have by the iris of the eye?
I have no idea. because I'm working for, Dr. Louisa is an optometrist. She just doesn't go there with that. You know, because I think it doesn't have the science behind it, perhaps. I don't know. But that's a great thing to look into. I mean, again, that's a whole topic in itself as to the validity of that.
Yeah.
I want to say the same thing. I really don't know. No idea.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, because we were looking at those diagrams of the eye, which are, like, so fascinating. I feel like I want a poster of that, like, in my house, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, I was just trying to think, how could the so-called deposits or stagnation, how could it actually get through those little vessels in your eye and deposit into the iris? You know, it's very interesting, like, what the mechanism is.
And it's funny, because there wasn't a whole lot of information on that, because I did look for some of the mechanisms. And maybe you just have to go through optometry school to get that kind of detail. I don't know, but
sounds like Lynn Rose knows something about it. Lynn Rose, you want to tell us about?
Yeah, it's deposited through the blood vessels.
Is it? But,
yeah.
Well, right.
And iridology is a different,
that's a different
science, thing. I guess you could say. Yeah, you're looking for different things.
It's a diagnostic tool. I mean, yeah. I used it years ago, but I haven't, I don't have clients that I see in person, but a lot of people use that to determine, what, if their cleansing needs and all that, because they'll
heavy metals,
tissue and deposits.
Yeah.
It is very valuable if you learn it. And so is iridology, but there's lots of information and research on it.
It's probably one of those topics where you just really have to study in depth and dig deep. And I think for a lot of us, we can't know everything about everything. So,
yeah. That's true.
I have another question just about sharing this information with people. I feel as though when I talk to people about blood sugar, they're kind of like deer in the headlights because nobody really thinks about blood sugar. They're like, oh, I'm not diabetic. I'm fine. And so when I bring up these little things like, oh, you have a little bit of trouble with your eyes, maybe you should consider this. It's like, how do you bridge that gap for people?
Well, that's funny because actually it's kind of done for me in all honesty. Dr. Louisa scares the bejesus out of her patients because she's got so much equipment. She's very specialized. I think she's only one of two doctors that does what she does in San Antonio. And she so cares for her patients. And she's been doing this for what, 40 years? She's been an optometrist. And she can tell just by, remember those pictures? Let me see if I can go back here.
Well, she's also kind of a no-nonsense person, right? I mean, she just, that's her persona. I think that would, I don't know if scare is the right word, but that would certainly cause people to pay attention.
Well, I mean, they come to finally, when they finally get to me, it's like, you know, she just scared me to death that I was going to lose my eyesight. But, you know, she's got all this specialized equipment where she can look into the lens of the eye, and she's looking at this whole retina. She can see the blood vessels. She can see deposits around here. I mean, it's just mind blowing. And so she can literally see the health of somebody just by looking at the eyes. And when she talks, people are very, they don't want to lose their eyesight. You know, that's kind of a sensitive thing. So when you start talking about eyesight going, yeah, that gets their attention. So as far as your question, Angelica, you know, it's like just, I don't know, dig a little deeper and really stress this eyesight thing. I mean, I did not realize it until I started working for her. I did not realize just how critical our food, what that had to do with our eyes. I mean, we hear about it for all other things, you know, high cholesterol and controlling this and autoimmune and that, but the eyes aren't discussed so much.
Yeah, I suppose I share them information with them, and a lot of people just default to the, well, isn't that just what getting old is like?
Right.
It's interesting how people like to fall back on that instead of actually taking in the information and considering making a lifestyle choice that would could help them not get old.
Here's another consideration. I mean, Dr. Louisa, I mean, she has told a lot of people about their eyes and the issues that they have. I mean, I've got a long list of people that I have contacted and yet are still not my clients. So I think the next time they go in to see Dr. Louisa for their next exam and things may perhaps either they're not getting better or they're getting worse, you know, she'll tell them again. And I just think that there are just some people that have to hear stuff repeatedly, or something has to get bad enough to push them into action.
I agree with you, Susan, and I want to commend you on an excellent presentation. And you have such a great way of taking the information that Louisa, and I know her, and she's a sweetheart, that she is. She just goes right for the jugular when she's talking to you.
Yes.
You have a nice way of bridging that and talking to people with enough information that they don't become overwhelmed, and yet sufficient amount that they can grab a hold of it and actually use it. So I think with the information you have given all of us, we can take it and introduce other people on another level that maybe they can take that little bit of information and go with it some more. So thank you. It's excellent, and I'm excited to get the recording on this so I can use it with some of my clients too. Very nice. Thank you.
Yeah, Claudia makes a really good point here. She says if people don't feel the pain, they are ignorant.
Yeah, but, you know, my mom is diabetic and has high blood pressure, and she's on medication. And I asked her, like, what is she? I looked and said, oh, no, he says everything is okay. And she's 83, and I don't believe that's the case. So either her doctor doesn't tell her because I don't know. But, yeah, she's 83, and she's been eating cakes and sugar all her life and had high blood pressure since her 50s. So I don't believe there's no damage. But, you know, like you said, if the optometrist doesn't make them scared, it's almost like, or they actually have vision issues that cannot be fixed by glasses because, right? I mean, as long as glasses can fix some of the things, they're like, yeah, you know, I'm like you said, you guys, you know, I'm old. This, the doctors even say it's age-related, you know, this is normal. Yeah.
Oh, but then we're getting back to that whole Western medicine paradigm. You know, we've got a whole society that's been brainwashed into thinking that the doctors know everything, and the doctors tell the patients that food doesn't have anything to do with it. So, you know, That's why we do what we do. It's just this mass re-education of healthy eating. It actually can make you feel better.
Your presentation was awesome, Susan. I really enjoyed and I learned a few new things. And I do want to say that people do not think about their eyes, because when I put this poll for that workshop that we never did, you know, that one with like JJ Virgin a few weeks ago, and I was speaking, I put a poll in my Facebook group. Would you rather see and not be able to walk, like showing a person in a wheelchair? Or would you rather be blind and be able to walk? And pretty much, I think 100% of people said they want to see. But yet they don't, you know, with diabetes, they might think about, you know, like, you know, atrophy, like of the, you know, extremities or whatever, all those things.
Right.
But they don't think about their eyes at all. Not at all. Which is really...
Well, and that's so true, because, I mean, here we're looking at such a prevalence of diabetes in our population. And what do you hear about? Diabetic neuropathy. You know, that's the big thing, all the extremities. But it's just, it blows my mind that the eyes aren't addressed until it's just too late.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, that's a statement for life, right? I mean, if you think about it, the eyes, they're not just what we physically see. They represent what we see. And people don't want to see. You know, they say they want to see. They want to have eyesight to watch their computer, their TV, those types of things. But maybe they don't want to see what's going on with their life. And quite frankly, like my husband was in a car accident 36, 37 years ago, and he's got one glass eye. And yeah, he has blood sugar issues, but he just keeps going out and getting a higher prescription set of readers. I mean, I don't even know when he last went to see an eye doctor, which has been suggested. But that speaks to what they were talking about here with the chat, the magic pill. Well, I'll just go get another pair of glasses, right? And I'm not putting glasses down if that's going to help you while you're doing the self-corrections you need to do, but it also reflects back to what you are seeing with your energetic eyes, I guess is another way to put it. You know, because they talk about the eyes are the windows of the soul.
That's a very great point, and I agree with you totally. You know, and then when it comes to eyeglasses, I mean, all of us are just told. I mean, I've got glasses on. It's like, you know, we've just been told it's part of aging, so nobody really even thinks about it.
Mm.
You know, it's like somehow we got to get the young kids who still have 20/20 vision to be thinking about this.
My daughter is 17, and every 5-6 months she goes to the doctor and her prescription keeps getting thicker and thicker. And oh yeah. And it's, to me, it's stress related. And I think that's a whole nother story. Like you said, there's so many stressors that are put on us these days. We get the stress just from the EMFs, from our environment. We get the stresses from our environmental culture that says you need to do these things, and you know, and yeah, and then that affects the blood glucose. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's it. It's never just one thing, like you said.
No. Well, it's my hope to take this presentation and tailor it to Dr. Luis's patients, so that the ones that maybe don't necessarily have really big issues that could possibly be reversed, maybe we can get their attention by offering some, you know, once a month or twice a month little evening sessions and do these kinds of PowerPoints. So that's kind of where I'm looking to go with this.
I love that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, you take one step at a time, right? And we'll see.
Today was the first step because I've never done anything like this before. So,
well,
about outside my comfort zone.
and so you stretched a little bit and you did really well. I know pretty much everybody here wants a copy of your slides, so make sure you send me the PowerPoint presentation of this, and then I'll make sure that it gets up with the recording.
All right.
Is there anybody here who hasn't heard how we came to be here?
Oh, you and Dennis? Yeah. I'm sure they would love to hear this.
I'll try and do it. He's right here. He doesn't like to talk, though. I'm surprised he's still in the camera. I'm surprised he hasn't run away. Though the reason that we actually got involved in all of this it had to do with Dennis. He's been a diabetic for 25 years, taking his metformin and paying no attention to diet. And I tried to feed him really well. And we had, you know, our little homestead, and we eat well. Grass-fed, everything, you know, homegrown, everything, home-preserved. We eat very little crap. Thought we were doing really well, take our supplements. But he's never been really strict with his diet. I just get the pill and take the pill and I'm fine. And he wouldn't even poke his finger every morning to see what his glucose was. It just is once a year checkup. Until one morning, almost exactly to the day 2 years ago, he woke up and he couldn't see out of his left eye. He was blind, literally overnight, almost exactly 2 years ago today. And it kind of sent him into a little bit of a panic, and he went to the eye doctor's office, and they got him right in. And, he was totally blind in his left eye. It was they took pictures. The retina showed it wasn't diabetic retinopathy yet. It was optic nerve. It was extremely inflamed. So that sent everybody into a panic mode, and we had air on fire. The eye doctor got a hold of the regular doctor. They wanted emergency tests run on him, wanted MRIs. We were talking, driving to Salt Lake City, driving to Montana, driving to Boise, checking everything under the sun. And I said, well, let's just slow down a little bit. Time out. First of all, he's diabetic. Number two, he hasn't been compliant with his diet. Number three, he hasn't been compliant with taking his pills. He's not even taking the metformin on a regular basis. He just takes it once in a while when he feels like it. Let's slow down a little bit and see what we can do. Anyway, we slowed the process down just a little tiny bit, and I had a frank talk with him and said, okay, honey, are you ready to deal with this? And he said, yes, I want my sight back. And I said, then let's slow down and go through the program. It all kind of ended up leading here. But he's got about half his vision back. We got the optic nerve inflammation down and under control within less than 30 days. Getting him on an absolute strict no sugar diet, got him on taking his metformin. What apparently had happened is that metformin seriously depletes B12. Mm-hmm. And B12 is what that optic nerve, the myelin sheath, needs that B12 to keep the nerve healthy. And what had happened was he wasn't taking enough of the B12 because of his genetics, we find that eventually, but it had eaten away at the optic nerve. We were able to get the inflammation down just really, really fast. But there was enough damage done to the nerve that it's been really slow trying to get that back. We're still building, but that's through all this program. But we got into the getting serious about the diet. So anyway, I had not had any problems up in that point. I had no blood sugar issues that I knew of. And then so through this, and our eye doctor being really impressed with what we were doing, I thought, you know, I haven't been again to get my eye checked in 3 years at least. I'm supposed to get checked for glaucoma. So I thought, well, he's done such a great job, and I really like him. He's a new guy, very young, compared to the other guy that retired. And I really liked him, so I thought, I'll just go ahead and get mine checked while I'm thinking about it. And that's when I found out that I had the diabetic retinopathy starting. And he says, you need to get your diabetes under control. And I said, I don't have diabetes. He says, yes, you do. And I said, no, I don't. He says, yes, you do. He literally was so concerned about my eyes that he at lunchtime had the receptionist close the office and hand carry the letter to my GP, who totally ignored it. In the meantime, somehow along the way, we found Dr. Rita Marie's Sweet Spot program a year ago in January. Signed up for that from the iThrive series, which is starting over again today. through that program. Anyway, so we ended up with Dr. Rita Marie, started on the sweet spot. I didn't get to see my GP until June of that year. From January to June. In that time I was going through the sweet spot, I got my very first A1C in May. And it was 5.9 after sweet spot reset the whole 9 yards. So I was down to 5.9. I went to see my GP and he said, oh, you're not even pre-diabetic. He argued with me. I showed him the blood glucose charts I was keeping, everything. He absolutely denied that I had any diabetic problem whatsoever, blew me off, and that's when I walked out. And that came right at the time that the ERC program was starting a year ago. And I said, well, I've lost my practitioner. The only one that believes me is the eye doctor. And I'm going to do what I'm going to do anyway. So that's how I ended up signing up for ERC. But I had so many other problems. It was like it was the eyes that led us here. And the eyes saved our lives. His eyes saved my life. And now we are celebrating our anniversary today. And I don't think I'd have been here without him going blind in one eye. But this presentation would have saved us both so much. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate what you've done, Susan. This is absolutely awesome. And I want to share it with our eye doc because he thinks we walk on water. Because of what we've been able to accomplish without anything other than the nutrition and the programs that we're working on. He absolutely loves it and what we've done. So thank you. And that's our testimony, and we're sticking to it. This is great. I want to share this with my kids. Of course, they've already heard what happened to Dad. So they, you know, Dad and Grandpa, I mean, so they do pay a lot more attention. But this will actually help make it very clear to them, you know, a lot more information that they can digest at their leisure.
Yeah, Dennis isn't alone. I mean, in January, I had an event on my eye, my right eye. It's called amaurosis fugus when you lose your vision like that. And I had that event. They were fearful that it was going to happen again. I have to have a second event. Went through similar story. Yeah, the big difference between my story and Dennis's story is that I've been on a good diet and nutrition for several years. And in the ERC program, it's all of my prior to 2015, I wasn't. And so all that stuff, I guess, started to catch up with me, and I've gained back some vision in that eye, but the retina doc says that if it didn't happen within the first few months, it's pretty unlikely I'm going to get much more than I've already got back. So, I mean, I can distinguish light from dark. I can see you guys sitting there, but I can't see anything on your faces. You know, I can't make out eyes, nose, ears, or anything like that. So, And diabetic retinopathy, yeah, it was only always evaluated as mild. I mean, they saw spots, and my blood sugar was under control. And, you know, at that point I was on the program. So, I worry about my good eye. And, I mean, Lynn, talk to your husband about getting his good eye checked. I mean, oh, my gosh, you know, that's my big fear now is something bad will happen to the good eye. And fortunately, the retina specialist says that the likelihood of that is pretty low, and that I just had an eye exam a couple of weeks ago. But everything looks good on that eye. So. But man, I'm super protective of it. If I go outside and I'm doing anything in the yard or anything like that, And my problem is a vascular problem as opposed to your problem being,
Yeah. It's a very similar issue because it is affecting your vision. And you're right, the first few months were the most critical. We did not get his blood sugar down and get his B12 up fast enough. And he's got about half his vision back. He's got kind of a blind spot in one of the central area off to sort of the like upper left side of his eye. So we can check his vision field to see where that spot is and how it's progressing. And he did a lot of improvement at first, but it kind of hit a soft spot, a snag where it's not getting a lot better now. But so that nerve has been damaged for sure. We just couldn't get it down fast enough, and we didn't get him off the metformin fast enough. So the metformin was still eating away at it. And but we did a lot in that first few months, despite the fact we really did not know what we were doing. What's interesting is as we go along, every time he goes in for a checkup now, his good eye has improved. He doesn't even need to wear his glasses anymore. There's no prescription needed anymore, and he's always worn glasses since he was a boy. So this is the things that we're doing have actually improved the vision he has in his good eye. So if it could keep up the good work, Jay. Don't give up. Whatever you do, protect that vision.
I mean, fortunately, I had cataracts replaced in August of last year. So,
before this happened?
Yeah, that was, and this my event happened in January of this year.
Wow.
But fortunately, at least that ruled out a lot of issues dealing with a cloudy lens.
Oh yeah.
Kind of thing, since I just had all that replaced. So yeah.
Wow. Well, topic eye health is very, very important, and the relationship between the glucose issues and all the other nutrition issues is definitely right there. It's amazing, amazing stuff. Thank you.
While my blood pressure was at the higher end, it was pretty much under control, except that the cardiologist had me on two meds, and in the afternoon, my blood pressure would go down. I mean, low, like, you know, 90 over 50 or something like that. And so finally, I got a primary care doctor who's not particularly natural, but she's got a compounding pharmacy. So she's she took me off of one of those meds and it seems to be stabilizing. So I think part of my problem was actually a low blood pressure, because I've got one of the diagnoses in that eye is venous stasis, which is sluggish blood flow. The blood goes in, but it doesn't flow out as fast as it needs to. And blood pressure meds can also affect what's going on in your eye. Yeah.
That's cool that you say that, Jay, because you've just given me an idea for a whole nother presentation.
Yes.
Looking at these meds and mm-hmm. the effect on the eyes. I mean, I didn't even consider that.
Yeah.
But that would be a whole nother separate presentation. So thanks for that idea.
Yeah. Excellent, Jay.
Yeah.
So we all learn from each other here. That's one of the reasons I love this place.
Yep.
Everybody in this program, all the instructors, the practitioners, Dr. Reedery, and even us clients, we all bring something to the table.
I love it from you guys.
I love it.
Well, Diana, you're the resident fairy queen of the garden, so.
Speaking of which, we have lutein over here on the counter. It's called a tomato, and it's delicious. We're finally getting the tomatoes in. That's another good place to get your lutein, by the way. Mm-hmm. And calendula flowers. They're full of it. The zeaxanthin. I put a supplement in there that our eye doctor actually sells, and he researched every supplement that's come along. And it's the only one we actually buy. It looks like this. Anyway, the ingredients are lutein, that stuff, the zea stuff. But anyway, when I did the research on this, I looked it up, and I'll be damned if it's calendula flowers, for goodness sakes.
Wow.
A specific genus of calendula. And that's when I took my eye tonic that I was making with the bilberry and the eye bright and the goji berries, and I switched over to black currants because it has more those things, the antioxidants. Anyway, I added the calendula extract, and then now this year and last year I'm growing the actual Tagetes erectica, which is the variety, has the highest content, but if you don't have that, you can use regular calendula. It's the next highest in that ingredient. And so I just started throwing that into his eye tonic. And then because he's got the nerve issue, I added St. John's wort and a little bit of golden seal to make sure there isn't anything microbial. Antibiotics, you know, kind of thing. So he's getting quite an assortment in his tonic. But anyway, anybody that's interested, I will try and do a little post maybe on the Facebook groups. So if you're all interested, I make big batches of it. So he has about 6 to 8 months worth at one time. But I just use finished tinctures and the juice as the base, and then there is a little bit of honey on it. You don't have to put it in. It's more for taste. And I use a local raw honey so that it is, you know, as pure and local as you can get with a lot of medicinal qualities in it. And he takes a shot of that every night, a big tablespoonful of it. And I don't know, he might think it works. But I was very validated when the doctor gave us this stuff and I did the research. So we take that too, just to make sure that he's getting enough of that. We both take it. So anyway, that's what I'm going to close with. Thank you again, Susan.
No, that's excellent. Thanks.
I put a link in there.
Definitely post that in the ERC group.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, I mean, if I could suggest that to my clients, that would be fantastic. Because I haven't seen, I've looked at a few products, but I haven't seen that particular one.
Yeah, that's, it isn't real popular. It's made, I think, out of Canada. Yeah, it's Canadian. And it's distributed in the United States through MacuHealth out of Birmingham, Michigan. He charges $90 a bottle, but we buy a six-pack, and then he gives it to us for, like, $72 a bottle. There's 90 soft gels, and you just take one a day. So it's not a bad price at all. It's $1 a day at full price for your eyes. And that's to prevent damage. Anyway.
Got to protect our good eye.
To protect that good eye is right. Right. And there will continue to be some healing continue to go on. But he's kind of like at that leveled off stage where we've got quite a bit of it back. He's also learning to use his eye, his bad eye in such a way where the muscles of the eye can actually turn to get a better field of vision in the part that he does have vision in. So that's something you might look at, Jay, too, is the exercises where you kind of train that eye that if you do have any good vision area left in the bad eye, that you can train your eye to move. It's very difficult for some people, but other it works better. Doc says that's helping him.
Yeah, my vision's pretty uniform, except right in the middle is a little bit darker.
Yeah, that's what his is.
Peripheral vision. So, I mean, yeah, so I'm on injections of Avastin. We start off once every 4 weeks to control the neovascularization, which is what Susan was talking about early on, the growth of blood vessels. And that's under control. Avastin is actually a drug that's used for fighting cell growth, cancer cell growth in the colon. So this is an off-label use. And so typically the next step is to burn the back of the retina with lasers, with laser treatment, but that results in killing your, you know, photoreceptor cells, which means you're going to lose vision, like peripheral vision. I can see motion and whatnot, and I don't want to lose that. So for me, we're just continuing on with the injections.
Yeah, I've done both of those, and I kind of regret it. So I think it's a good decision to put it off as long as you can and not do it.
The laser?
The laser and the Avastin.
Yeah, I told him I was just going to continue on with the injection. So now I'm up to 7 weeks, and I just finished my 7th week one. And so my next one will be 10 weeks, and that'll be in September. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a lot of fun. They deaden the eye, you know, with an anesthesia, but they do a tap. In my case, they do a tap first to draw out fluid, and then they do the injection up in the top part with the second needle. So the tap kind of makes you want to grip the armrest on the chair. But yep. It's not too bad. Yeah.
Well, it really sounds like this has been a discussion that has touched us all on some level or another. And so, Susan, I know everybody's been thanking you for this information and hopefully gives you the knowledge and confidence to move forward with what you've talking about, knowing that this will be of such great help for people. So we look forward to supporting you on that.
Yeah, thank you for kicking my butt to get this done.
Yeah, it's all right. I have kicked a butt or two in my time, and yours was, you were easy. So, and it's, for all of us, it's well worth it. I'm very appreciative of this.
Yeah, you're a great presenter.
Very good.
Yeah, I did a great job, Susan. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can do this.
You did do this. And you will continue to.
I mean, I can continue to do this, is what I meant.
Exactly. Yes, you can. Yes.
Yep.
Exactly. The brain only remembers the past, so we have to give it good things to remember. And so does anybody have anything else they'd like to offer, questions? No? All right.
I did a free challenge that's still available. It was about computer vision, but it also talks about blue light.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody wants, it's free. It's in my Facebook group. I can put the link in there if anybody wants to learn a little bit more about what they can do.
Claudia, Dr. Louisa is noticing, I think she discovered this initially with her grandson, who I think is 8, and all the screen time. And she did an eye exam on her grandson and discovered some damage or I don't know what exactly, I don't know enough about the blue light and what it does to the macula. I haven't investigated that. I could talk to her more about it. But she's definitely noticed something wrong with her grandson's eyes. And so what she has done is she requires, she insisted on her son and her daughter-in-law that the children are required to wear glasses that have those blue blocking lenses in them. But she, I mean, she saw it in the back of the eye already. And that was a little alarming. So I think this is something that needs to be talked about more, is this blue light stuff. But that's a whole, again.
I usually recommend turning, like, you know, every computer has called light shift mode on most computers. Yeah, and
right.
There's lots of extensions and apps that, like Iris or Flux, that make your screen more yellow and warm. Because the reality is kids are not, first of all, I hate putting glasses on. I don't want anything on my face. And most kids will not, like, trust me, they will not do that. And I just did that on my daughter's computer. I just changed it and she didn't even notice. I just changed the setting to this more orangey light. And I told her it's important for vision later, but she never even noticed it. So that's a way to do it. You know, you can make it very orangey, then they notice it. But if you just make it more yellow, because actually blue light is in the sunlight too, and we need blue light. The cone cells need it, but we have too much. Like, the computers have so much blue and then barely anything else, just a little bit green and then none of the warm colors. And the sunlight has the full spectrum, right? So it has all the different colors that we need. And the macula has those lutein and zeaxanthin, you know, those two supplements you recommended that are in kale and spinach. That's the yellow pigment. That's why it's called the yellow spot. And those plant pigments absorb 40-60% of the sun, the blue light. But if you don't get these nutrients, and as we get older, that's when the damage happens, right? So the macula is actually equipped to deal with natural light perfectly fine. But when we do this, plus then the computers, which have this huge amount of blue light. So yeah, just turning the screen yellow and going to the night shift mode. And I figured out how to turn it on all day because I have a MacBook and it doesn't let me turn it on all day. But I basically set it from 4 a.m. to 3:59 a.m. So that's like 1 minute at night where it's not yellow and I'm sleeping at that point. So you can kind of beat the system that way.
Cool.
Yeah. That's a little
I use Flux on mine. I've used it for several years. And one of my goals starting tomorrow, August 1st, is to spend less time on the computer and more time outside in nature,
nice.
The ultimate floor.
And yeah. That's so good, Lynn, because the eyes do need some sunlight. And, you know, think about it. We look at the near point. Think of, like, your eyes actually have to, like, the inner eye muscles have to convert. They have to pull the eyes together. Your lens has to thicken. So it's like holding a dumbbell, like, for 8 hours a day. And then we let it go and we expect the biceps to be, like, have full range of motion, right? I mean, it's like our eyes are not meant to be locked at, like, a single distance for so long. It's just so bad. Like, you know, yeah. Great, great intention. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Well, I have to get off because I have a client that I need to go see.
Yeah. Well, just the fact that we all still are commenting and asking questions shows that you have talked about a topic that is important to all of us. And since you will be coaching again next year, this will also give you an opportunity to maybe build on this for next year. So, all right. Thank you again, everybody. And we really, you know, for those of you who are coming back next year, we really look forward to it, to supporting you and all the wonderful changes you'll be seeing. So take care.
All right. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you for listening.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.